Welcome to the Fit for the Future podcast, which helps you navigate this fast-changing world by bringing you ideas, information, interviews, and insights for being fit for the future. Here's your host, Gihan Pereira.
Welcome to this podcast episode, and in this episode I want to talk about learning and professional development. This week I'm presenting at three conferences, one in Brisbane, one in Sydney and one in Melbourne, and they're all for different groups and different topic areas. One is for commercial real estate, one is for a government department, and the other one's for secondary school principals, but all of them have a theme of leadership running throughout them. And one of the interesting things that I'm seeing coming up under the topic of leadership, kind of as a subtopic, is this idea of professional development. How do we keep people learning? How do we ensure that the people in our teams and in our organizations, and of course ourselves, are at the top of our game in terms of professional development? Now, it doesn't mean learning the same sort of things we learned at school. I recently bought Google Home. So Google Home is Google's home assistant. It's personal assistant. It's a little box that sits on my coffee table, and it's voice activated. So I can ask you questions like, Google, how far is it to the moon? Or Google, play me this song on Spotify. Or Google, how do I say, what time is the next train in French? And it'll do that translation for me. So basically anything that I can ask Google, I can now ask out loud to Google Home. So obviously we don't need new skills in memorizing facts because Google has that covered for us. We also don't need certain skills with scheduling, for example. So I can ask my Google Assistant, what time is my next meeting, or how long will it take me to get to the airport? And it'll give me intelligent answers based on my calendar and traffic on the roads and so on. So some of those skills that previously only humans could do, now things like Google Assistant and Google Home can do for me. So what sort of skills do we need? Well, obviously we need higher order thinking skills. And they're the sort of skills that are going to keep us fit for the future. So as a leader, you have responsibility for yourself and your team to make sure that they get the right sort of professional development. And conferences at the moment are one way that they do that, and I'm really grateful for that because a large part of my business is speaking at conferences. But more and more, people are looking at other avenues as well for professional development. And this is especially true in modern teams where the team isn't always in the same office. So you don't always have the opportunity to get everyone together in the same room to run a training course. It's now become not just inefficient, but sometimes impractical because we've got some people who are working from home, some who are freelancers who are working on the other side of the world, some who are contractors who aren't in every day. There's some global teams where there are teams who are working from offices, but the offices themselves might be in other parts of the world. So how do you ensure that you can get the best professional development for your team? Not just in content, so the what you're teaching them, but also how you actually get them to do that. So today I want to focus on professional development for distributed teams. So looking at the situation where your team isn't all in the office at the same time. Now you might be running a team where everybody is in the office at the same time, but that's an advantage, that's a bonus. Some of the things that you learn today will apply just as well to you, and you'll be able to take advantage of them. But just keep in mind that if you think about your professional development with the idea that you might someday have a distributed team, or you might already have some people who don't work in the same office as you, then it puts you in a powerful position because it allows you to be ready for that happening in the future. It does help you become fit for the future when you have your team that's going to be not just in the same office, but distributed and perhaps working in different time zones, different days of the week, with different cultures, and you'll be able to manage their professional development as well. So let's join a conversation that my friend Chris Pudney and I had about professional development for distributed teams. And as usual, we're talking about out-of-office work and particularly about professional development today. So if you've got out-of-office workers in your team, then how do you provide professional development for them? Because obviously, everyone in your team expects and demands, in some cases, opportunities for professional development, and it's just as important for your out-of-office team members as it is for your in-office team members. The challenge is that because they're not in the office, it can be more difficult and you have to be more proactive and put in more effort to actually provide that sort of professional development for your remote team members. It's a little bit easier if they're part of a remote team because then their managers and leaders there will be managing their professional development. But if they're individual telecommuters or even external workers or freelancers, then it's a little bit more challenging. But putting in the effort does give you benefits, both for yourself, your team, and of course, for the out-of-office workers themselves. So when we're thinking about this topic of professional development, I think that it's the approach that you take to professional development depends on the work, your attitude to out-of-office work in general. And as an analogy, you can think of it like your approach to diversity, for example, ethnic or cultural diversity in society. At one level, you can tolerate it, where we go, okay, we tolerate your differences but won't make any concessions to you. So you're welcome to join in, but you've got to play by our rules. So that's kind of the lowest level of acceptance in terms of diversity. The next level is the integration level. It's like the equal opportunity, where we say, okay, you're different and that's unfair to you, so we're going to change the rules to accommodate you so that everybody's equal again. And the third level is to embrace diversity. That's kind of like the idea of a multicultural society, is where we say you're different and we're okay with that. And what's more, we can actually learn from those differences so that we'll all be better. And if you look at those three levels, none of them are actually bad, although the higher up you go, the better, but they just reflect the current attitude of, if you like, the level of enlightenment that you have towards your out-of-office workers. And the point is this, that the professional development you offer to your out-of-office workers will depend on your attitude to out-of-office work in general and also your organization's attitude. And for example, you might have motivated out-of-office workers who want to be treated at the embrace level. So they might say, for example, let me do this online course, and then I'll run a webinar where I'll present it to the rest of the team. And that's great. And if you are also thinking at that level, that's great. But if you're only thinking at that lower tolerate level, then maybe that request will even go over your head because you think, well, that's a waste of time. We don't need that. Why don't you just sit in your own little box in your home office and do the course for yourself? So that's at one level. Or you might be okay with it because you're also thinking at that level, but you may not be able to get HR to approve it because it falls outside, you know, their standard regulations and guidelines for training courses, because they're thinking at, say, the integrate level and they just want everyone to operate the same way. Or you and HR might be okay with it, but other team members don't like it. They resent it because they have to sit through boring training courses, and now here are these out-of-office workers who can do these online courses at their own pace, at their own time. So you've got to kind of manage these competing priorities and competing attitudes. In an ideal world, it's great if everybody's enlightened and embraces the idea of out-of-office work and distributed teams. But of course, this isn't an ideal world. So you're going to make decisions about your professional development for your team members based on your attitude, your out-of-office team members' attitude, your other team members' attitude, and the organization's attitude as well, towards out-of-office work first, and then the professional development sits on top of that. So today we're going to go at those three levels. So we'll look at the tolerate, integrate, and embrace areas and look at how you offer professional development depending on how where you operate in terms of out-of-office work.
Okay, so let's start at the lowest level, tolerate. And apart from, say, neglecting and ignoring professional development altogether, it is sort of the entry level. And you're basically saying that the onus for professional development rests with your out-of-office worker. And you're simply shrugging your shoulders, absolving yourself of any responsibility and say to the out-of-office worker, this is one of the trade-offs you get for all that flexibility that out-of-office work affords. So you can do professional development, but you have to do it on your own time and at your own expense. And that means that the out-of-office worker is not going to get any access to the kind of training and mentoring and coaching that comes with working in office. And so also their career is probably not going to advance as quickly or as far or even at all compared with their in-office colleagues. Now, that might sound unfair or even brutal, but it is in fact what most externals and contractors expect and experience when they're working for clients. So it's not necessarily unfair. It just means that you're treating your out-of-office workers in the same category as external staff when you're just tolerating professional development for them.
So I'm curious for you, Chris, in your career, like you've been doing out-of-office work for a long time now, do you think that when you first started doing that you were maybe treated at the tolerate level, or have you always been working for a more enlightened boss and organization?
Yes, I think it's evolved over time, Gihan, because I am an external as well as being an out-of-office worker. So I am in that category officially, but it doesn't mean that I've not had opportunities to professional development. So the ability, on the one hand, I've taken care of most of my own professional development. I've traded off my flexibility and gone to conferences and workshops and paid for it myself. But I have had a few training opportunities from the people that I work for.
Okay, and I think that is something that even at this lowest level, managers and leaders can offer few concessions. So you still say that the out-of-office worker is responsible for their personal development, but you can make a little bit of effort to assist them. So, for example, as you just said, Chris, you can offer your part-time telecommuters the chance to, when they're in the office, get training or mentoring or coaching, or give them money to go to do courses or get an external coach or attend conferences. So you said you had to do a little bit of that out of pocket, but as a leader, you can also offer your out of office workers either to subsidize or to pay for it completely. And as much as money, you can also give them time to do the same thing. So time as part of their work time, if you like, but you know there is time allocated for that, and it's tolerated and accepted. The other thing you can do is when you do visit them, if you visit them rather than them visiting you in the office, to make time for them. And this is very common when you've got sales forces and you've got sales teams where many of the salespeople are out of office and on the road, and sales managers, when they visit, they'll do a field trip with their salespeople. So actually make the time for those out of office workers so that they get a little bit of the idea of getting professional development, even though they're not working in the office. But still, even with all these concessions, the basic message that you're giving is still that it's really up to the out-of-office worker to do their own professional development, and anything else that they get is a privilege and a bonus rather than a right.
Yeah. All right. So let's improve on that a little, Gihan, by taking it up to the integrate level. So here, what you do is that you're proactively acting as a leader to make sure that your out-of-office team members get the same kind of access to professional development opportunities as the rest of your team. So what you can do is make sure that it's the degree of opportunity for all of your team members, regardless of their roles and regardless of their location, that they get opportunities for professional development, and you're acting to make sure that that happens rather than leaving it to your out-of-office workers to get on with it themselves. And you can also consider extending this to external members of your team. So if you've got freelancers or contractors working in your team, you can also think about making professional development opportunities available to them as well. In these cases, you're generally going to have to be a bit more inventive and work a little harder, because most organizations are not going to, as part of their guidelines, they're definitely not going to be making professional development available to external staff. So you just have to be a bit more thoughtful and inventive in coming up with professional opportunities for them. But it's really important, because it's a great way of building a strong and long-lasting relationship with your external workers. They're really going to value it, and it's going to have benefits for you and your team as well. So we're talking about offering equal opportunities to your out-of-office workers for professional development, but not necessarily the same opportunities that you're going to be offering to team members who are based in the office. And that's by virtue of the fact that your out-of-office workers are going to be remote from you. So, for example, if you're based in a team that's in head office, you've got some of your team around you and some of your team are working remotely, then those team members who are working in office, they're going to receive in-house training, mentoring, and some opportunities for promotion, just as a matter of course, by virtue of the fact that they're working in head office. So the thing to be aware of is that your out-of-office workers might be missing out. Work hard to come up with ways to level the playing field and offer similar levels of professional development opportunity to the members of your team who are working in other offices or working remotely from you.
Yeah, exactly right, Chris. And as you say, the key word is equal, not same. So you're going to look at other ways that you can provide equivalent professional development opportunities. For example, with training, I mean, the obvious thing is to do online learning. So your out-of-office workers have access to online learning, whereas your in-office workers might be going to training courses. And many organizations are now moving towards online learning for all their employees. So if you work in one of those organizations, then you've probably already got in-house material available on your internal intranet. So that might be available to your out-of-office workers as well. But if not, look for external online courses. In fact, ask your out-of-office workers to look for the external training that might be valuable to them. And also keep in mind that many of your out-of-office workers, even if they can't attend training courses with the rest of your team, they might still be able to attend other training courses wherever they live. So there might be in-person training courses that work for them as well. Another area which is growing is the idea of mentoring. So employees are now expecting their leaders and managers to be mentors, not just bosses and managers, but they're also looking for other mentoring opportunities. And this is definitely something that can be done remotely. So with your out-of-office workers, you can use text messaging, you can use phone, you can use video. In fact, sometimes this can be more effective. As a small example, Chris, so I'm helping my partner Nikki's daughter, Abby, who's doing year 12 maths at the moment. So I help her with her maths study. And while I was traveling recently, because I was away for almost 3 weeks and it was leading up to exams, we agreed to set up a couple of Skype calls. So a couple of times when I was away, we set up Skype video calls, and Abby would be working there. She'd be holding up her papers in front of the video screen, and I'd be doing the same. And it actually turned out to be quite effective because we were really focused. We looked at the very specific things that we were working on. Abby was really prepared for the Skype session. And in some ways, it was more effective than when I was sitting down with her at the table working through problems. So it can be more effective to do it remotely because people are, just as they are with online meetings, more efficient when they're doing work remotely. So remote mentoring can work really, really well. Virtual reality is one thing that's going to enhance it in the future as well. So that's not there yet, but again, you can imagine mentoring happening where you're sitting, it looks like you're sitting in a room with your mentor, just as if you actually were sitting in your room with the mentor. The other thing with mentoring is that you can consider opportunities for your out-of-office workers to find mentors locally. So wherever they are, there might be business mentors available. Their professional association might have some sort of mentoring program in place. They may set up or join a mastermind group, which is peer mentoring. So some of those opportunities are available if you're willing to think creatively. The other thing that's really interesting in terms of professional development is this idea called shadowing. And that's the idea that the more junior person follows the more senior person around. So it's mentoring, but mentoring in place. And that's much more difficult to do with out-of-office workers because they're not in the same office. They can't attend the same meetings. They can't get in the car and drive to see a client and get debriefed on the way back. So you kind of got to look for other opportunities where that can happen if you want to provide shadowing for your out-of-office team members. For example, if you have teleconference calls or online meetings, that's easy because you can ask your team member to attend those meetings as well, even if all they do is they sit and listen. But they can't attend your in-person meetings, so maybe you have to make time before the meeting to brief them on what you're going to talk about and then have a quick 5-minute call with them afterwards to talk about what was discussed at the meeting, just so they stay in the loop because they can't be there for the in-person meetings. Another thing you can do for your out-of-office workers is championing. And this is not direct professional development, but it helps advance their career path, which is where you speak up on behalf of your team members. And again, you can champion your in-office team members in natural ways. For example, you can ask them to present at a meeting where you would normally be presenting, but you give them the chance to showcase their expertise in front of your peers. And again, that's not necessarily easy to do with your out-of-office workers, but look for opportunities to do that. And again, you can do that with online presentations. And when you can't, then you may have to work harder and more proactively to champion them and really talk up. You're almost their agent because they're not there in person to prove themselves. So overall, there are ways that you can provide professional development opportunities. You just have to be a little bit more proactive about it.
Yeah, indeed. And all of these professional development opportunities you've described, Gihan, help your out-of-office worker, your team members, move along their career path or progress along their career path. But one of the mistakes that you can make with your out-of-office team members is to assume that they've chosen that particular work style in preference to everything else, that they're happy to, they're content to sacrifice career advancement, for instance, so that they can get the flexibility and work style that comes with choosing out of office work. So don't just assume that. The mistake is to assume that that's, that choice overrides that their career path and their career advancement. So make sure that you have a clear understanding of your individual team members' career goals and their professional interests. They might not necessarily be compatible with their current work style, but that doesn't mean that that's going to be the case indefinitely. So, for example, in many organizations, it's a requirement that managers work in the office. For whatever reason, we've argued against that in the past, but that tends to be the prevailing way that management is done. If you've got an out-of-office worker, don't assume that they just have no interest in taking on managerial roles because they've chosen a work style that's incompatible with it for your particular organisation. So make sure that you understand what career goals they actually have. It might be the case that an out-of-office worker is prepared to sacrifice some of their work style, some of the flexibility of out-of-office work in order to pursue something like management. They might be prepared to be, say, a semi-commuter. They might come into the office a couple of days a week in order to fulfill the requirement that they do some management in office.
Yeah, I think this is a really important point you're making, Chris, because probably in the past, many of the people who were working out of office did realize that they were sacrificing some of their career path and the management ladder in order to have their flexibility working from home. But as the workplace changes and more people are working in distributed teams, and that's going to become the norm rather than the exception, people are going to expect that, yeah, this is just what I do. Where I work has no relation and bears no relation to what I want to do and where my career is going. It probably has in the past, where people would say, okay, there's a trade-off. I'm happy to be a worker bee for a long time. But now they take it as take for granted that out-of-office work is just the way that they work. And it should have no bearing on how their career progresses.
Yeah, that's right. So let's take it up to the final level, Gihan, or the top level, and that is where you embrace your out-of-office workers and their professional development opportunities. And it takes all sorts approach where you don't think of out-of-office work style as something that you just have to put up with and tolerate. It's not a disadvantage. It's something that we can all embrace and learn from and benefit from. So we're talking about career paths before. And we're saying, look, get to know what are the career ambitions of your team members and your out-of-office workers in particular, because it could be the flip side of what we were just describing. It could be that your out-of-office worker chooses lifestyle over work style, that it does matter to them that their work style is out of office compared with opportunities for promotion, and they are happy to work out of office forever, indefinitely, but they will probably still want some kind of reward or recognition for their long service and for the experience that they've gained along the way. And also, back when you and I started working out of office, Gihan, it really was quite a novel thing to do, and it took a degree of get up and go and entrepreneurship in order to work out of office. And that's less so these days, but it is still the case that your out of office workers are likely to be a bit more entrepreneurial than your in-office workers. In order to have made that happen, they're going to have shown a degree of entrepreneurial flair. So tap into that, you know, find out what kinds of tools and techniques and ways of work have they developed in order to make out-of-office work for them. There could be great things that you can learn from them and extend to the rest of your team. They can tell your team about some of the ways that they work to be really productive. And also, by virtue of the fact that they're working remotely, they're going to be based in a different location, potentially in a different country with a different culture. They may well have a different social standing in their community compared with the people who are working around you in an office. Again, all this means that your out-of-office workers are going to have different values and different professional development needs. The really important thing is to know what it is that they want.
Yeah, and as you said, Chris, so first of all, know what they want, and second, tap into that. So take advantage of that, their diversity to bring professional development to the rest of the team, because we're looking at not only helping those out of office workers get professional development, but what can they add to the rest of the team. So there are some techniques that are being used at the moment. So for example, reverse mentoring is an area that's growing. So that's the idea that the more experienced people in the organization are being mentored by the more junior people. And this is happening in organizations, even in office, where senior managers are being mentored in things like social media, consumer behavior, app development, and not necessarily the development side of it, but understanding technology from their more junior team members. And that can happen with your out-of-office members as well. As you said, Chris, they have access to tools and techniques and technology that the rest of the team may not be using. So find out what that is and have some channel for them to be able to mentor you and the rest of the team. And that leads on to the idea of the learner as being the teacher. So the concept that whatever they learn, they can then share with the rest of the team. So this could be something that you're doing with all your team members, but particularly out of office team members, they might be learning things naturally that the rest of the team isn't learning naturally. And therefore, by sharing that expertise and that knowledge, everybody learns from that. And the other thing you mentioned earlier, Chris, is that they might be living in a different country or with a different culture. And if your organization is also working in that country or that culture, not just because they've got people and team members there, then those out-of-office team members can provide local knowledge, which could be valuable if your organization is looking at moving into a new market or perhaps looking at expanding their workforce. Then the people you've already got there, like on the ground, so to speak, can provide really useful local intelligence.
Indeed. So when it comes to professional development opportunities for your remote team members, proactively support opportunities for them. So, for instance, encourage them to join professional organizations by offering to pay their membership dues. Or if they want to, if you see a useful course that they can attend, give them the time and support by offering to pay for the sign-up fees for that training course. And the same goes for conferences or workshops. They can either be online ones or ones that are local to them, or even if they have to travel, offer to foot the bill for the travel and accommodation expenses. And if you're hosting them with your team at headquarters, let's say, then set aside some time where, whilst they're in office with you, to take part in some of the professional development opportunities that are normally offered in-house to your on-site team. When your remote team members are visiting you, set aside the time and the finances if they're required, so that they can tap into some of those opportunities when they're visiting you. Now, these sort of things sound like the kinds of support that we mentioned way back at the beginning at the tolerate level. But here the difference is that back at the tolerate level, it was up to the out-of-office worker to come with you, cap in hand, so to speak, to ask for that kind of support. Here, at the embrace level, it's the other way around. You're approaching them with opportunities and encouraging and offering support rather than them having to come to you for it.
That's great, Chris. So to wrap up, I reckon there are three things as a leader or manager to consider when you're thinking about professional development for your out-of-office workers. First of all, be sensitive. Be sensitive not only to the out-of-office worker and their needs, but also to the other people around them, which is the rest of the team and the rest of the organization, so that you don't create conflict and resentment about treating your out-of-office workers differently with their professional development. The second thing is to be proactive, because we've often said that out-of-office workers are kind of out of sight, out of mind. But for professional development in particular, this can be quite dangerous or risky, because it's easy to be neglected. With other things, often the out-of-office worker will stick up their hand and say, hey, remember me, I'm sitting over here. But professional development, they often just let it slide, and you as a leader might just let it slide because you just didn't think about it. And the third thing is to be enlightened. So do your best to move through those levels from tolerate to integrate to embrace. And that's just not just you, but also champion this journey for your other team members and for the rest of the organization as well.
Excellent. And look, something that we said several times that bears repeating, Gihan, is that when it comes to professional development, it's really important to understand the career goals and values that your team members have. So when it comes to your out-of-office workers and all of your team members in general, actually, listen to them and observe them when they're working to find out what it is that they're enthusiastic about, what are their interests and hobbies and pastimes, and identify gaps in their experience and skills that professional development opportunities can help them to fill. And ask them directly. Look, find out by sitting down with them and finding out what ambitions they actually have, what are their interests and what are their career goals. And then finally, once you've listened to them and observed them and asked them those questions, make available professional development opportunities to them. Offer them different kinds of opportunities and challenge them with new types of role and new types of work that can help them work towards their professional development goals.
I hope you found that conversation useful and interesting. As I said at the start, this is applicable to you even if, at the moment, everybody works in the same office or the same workplace. Because if you really want to be fit for the future, you should be preparing yourself now for the situation where you might have a distributed team. And of course, if you already have a distributed team, I hope you got some value from that as well. Chris and I host the Talent Everywhere podcast, where we talk about things like this, specifically about distributed teams and how to lead and manage them. So if you're interested in subscribing to that podcast as well, go to talenteverywhere.com.au and you'll be able to subscribe there. And from time to time, I'll feature some of those podcast episodes in this Fit for the Future podcast as well. I hope you get value from both of them. Now, talking about professional development, I'm working with somebody, my friend and colleague and somebody I respect very highly, Shane Kempton, to put together a program for smart business owners and business leaders who want to understand how disruption is going to affect their businesses and their organizations. And we're calling this program Business Accelerators. And our tagline for that is Disruption by Design, because we think that there is a lot of disruption happening in the world and you don't have to be a victim of it. You don't have to just wait for it to happen. You don't have to be reactive. You can be responsive first and ideally be proactive, so lead the disruption. But even if you're not leading the disruption, be ready for it and be prepared for it so you can stay one step ahead and stay ahead of the game. So Shane and I are running this program called Business Accelerators. I'll let you know more about that in future podcast episodes. So look out for that soon. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and found something valuable for your personal and professional life. And if you did get some value from it, I would love it if you could do me a favor and give me a review and a rating in the iTunes store in the podcast area. And that helps to promote it to other people as well. And if you want me to share ideas like this live at your next conference, then check out my speaking topics and workshop topics at gihanspeaks.com. And if you want to engage with me in other ways, go to gihanparera.com, where you can find my blog, my newsletter, my podcast, videos, and my free webinar series. They're all free and they're all designed to help you leverage the potential of your organization, your team, and of course yourself, that you can become fit for the future. This is Gihan Pereira. Bye for now.
For show notes, past episodes, and more, visit GihanPereira.com. And remember, great minds don't think alike.